Hey everybody, welcome back to another season of Being Unapologetically Authentic with your host Jean Tian, that's me. In this season, we are exploring the intersectionality of authenticity with an ethnic flair and success. I am so excited to be able to provide this platform to bring on the voices of Asian Americans, particularly Asian American females, so that they can share their stories of how they have overcome social and cultural conditioning, as well as their own personal stories in order to find their own success. This is a super powerful season. I cannot wait for you guys to hear their stories. I am breaking down cultural norms for you. Let's get started.
Hey everybody, welcome back to season 2 of the Being Unapologetically Authentic podcast. And I am so excited to have a very special guest today, Sheena Yap Chen. I have that right, right? And so Sheena and I actually met in a Facebook group that's dedicated to Asian hustles, specifically those with either who are entrepreneurial or I guess they may have side hustles or something like that. And I loved everything that Sheena had pitched in terms of her new book, as well as she has her very own podcast called The Tale of Self-Confidence. So Sheena, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey Jean, it's so nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor.
Happy to have you. And then so why don't you share a little bit about yourself with our audience?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, everything really started with my podcast. So I have a podcast called The Tale of Self-Confidence, where I interview Asian women about their journey to self-confidence. And part of the reasons why I did that was because representation is very important for me, especially growing up in Toronto in the 90s, you know, I never saw anybody that looked like me. So I always felt ashamed of being Asian, right? Because I didn't fit the norm. You know, I felt like I was a failure just as being a human being because I didn't fit to the beauty standards that I thought, you know, I had to live by. And I never want our current and future generations to go through the same thing. So also confidence was also huge, right? In 2015, I was trying to find support systems that really catered to Asian women's confidence, specifically for Asian women's confidence. And I couldn't find any. So I was like, maybe I was the only one going through this, like nobody else, everyone else is good. And so I really wanted to do it for two reasons, representation and support. Since then, I've been able to interview over 700 Asian women on this topic from around the world, different backgrounds, different Asian ethnicities, because we all don't come from China. and I always want to create more visibility for our community, especially for Asian women, because we're constantly seen by our negative stereotypes, and I really want to dismantle that. So in February of last year, we launched a book called Asian Women Who Boss Up, which is part of a book series called Women Who Boss Up. Actually, we have another one coming out very soon, a second edition called Asian Women Trailblazers, which we are super excited.
Amazing.
And like Jean mentioned, I'll have a book coming out next year too on the topics of Asian women leadership, which I'm super excited about. And, you know, it's all about, for me, really creating, you know, representation, you know, showing other women what's possible, empowering them to be more, right? Because for me, representation leads to possibilities, right? It opens the doors to showing you that you don't always have to go and live by what your parents tell you or what your family tells you or society tells you, especially as Asian women. You know, we go through a lot of stuff, you know, like in China, if you're 25 and over and still single, you're literally called a leftover. And it's like, it's really shame. It's like, it's a shame that we're called that, right? Like we're not called smart or capable or
ambitious.
Yeah. we're called leftovers. It's like, really, you know? But I know that's because of, you know, history, right? Centuries of women being seen as second class to men. And so I always say, if you want things to change, it really has to start with yourself. And there's times where you don't know what that looks like, right? You just got to go out there and take action.
Yeah, there's so much that I want to like just dive into with what you just said. So let's just kind of like start with little bits and pieces. So, you know, with regards to the confidence aspect, after interviewing over 700 women, what did you find to be like an underlying theme to everybody's journey when they were looking for or finding their self-confidence?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, as Asian women, we go through similar things, or women in general, we go through similar things, not feeling good enough, not being able to talk about mental health, always trying to please others. Anything we do outside our culture is considered shameful. And so most women went through that. And, you know, most women always had like a breaking point, right? There was just a breaking point where they're like, enough is enough. And they had to, you know, change things around for the better, right? So they found their own ways to build confidence, whether it was going through a self-development class, or you know, going through entrepreneurship, or just even being able to take care of themselves. Everyone has a different way, and I love that everyone has different ways because we're all different. We're all not going to build confidence the same way. Like even my own notion of confidence before I started, I just thought you had to be loud and boisterous and be out there. But really, you could be an introvert and still be confident, right? The main thing is actions speak louder than words. Just really putting yourself out there. Being able to create your own opportunities, making the first move. Is it easy? Of course not. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it, especially as an Asian woman, you know, you get judged on every single little thing. But for me, it's like my purpose was bigger than what people were telling me, right? And of course, there's days where I felt like, well, is what I'm doing really like, should I be doing this, right? Of course, we question ourselves. We're human, right? We're not robots. But my purpose was bigger. So I always went back to why am I doing this? Why? Who's it for? Why do we need to do this? It's because I don't want us to be seen as quiet and submissive and obedient, right? This needs to end. And it still happens in 2022. Like
Oh, yes.
a couple of months back, I had on the day that Roe versus Wade got overturned, you know, I saw a sponsored article from the Austin Chronicle talking about or basically promoting Asian male order brides. And it was literally a full-on manual on how to land an Asian male order bride, you know, had the top five countries, and you know, each country had a profile, you know, and it was just like degrading, right? Like you're basically promoting human trafficking, right? And people don't understand what, you know, not just Asian male order brides, but just male order brides in general, what they go through, you know, being abused physically and mentally, being forced into sex slavery, being promised one thing. And when they get there, it's a totally different thing. I mean, there's just so many things, right? And then, you know, we don't want to be seen as, you know, an item on a catalog that you can just buy off of, right? So, you know, you know, I was mad, you know, I aired my frustrations on social media. I called other people of higher influence to call them out. They were able to take it out and had an
Amazing.
apology. But, you know, we have to call out these injustices because if not, you know, it's just they think it's okay. And it's not okay. Or, you
It's
know,
not.
even if there's a new variant that comes out from COVID, it's like every time there's a new variant, there's always a photo smack in the middle, an Asian woman with a mask. It's like, why? Why is it always the Asian woman, you know, as the main photo of a new variant? And, you know, that just makes us a target again for Stop Asian Hate all over again, right? And it's not funny because, you know, women are 2.5 times targeted more than men. You know, in New York City alone, you see women lining up for 8 hours just to get pepper spray. Today, I just saw a video of a 70-year-old woman getting beaten up by three guys. Like, what is going on, right? Like, this is why our silence is literally killing us, and we need to speak up so that, you know, we can tell them this is not okay. Back off, you know, stop attacking us, right? We've become the scapegoat for COVID because of what, you know, former President Trump kept calling it China virus, right? Or China, whatever. But, you know, we have to stand up for ourselves too. It really has to start with us and show them that, you know, we're more than just our negative stereotypes.
And I love the fact that you mentioned all of these things in terms of representation, in terms of speaking up, and in terms of just not accepting and kind of the damage that the stereotypes cause. Because I find that those three items kind of run deep in terms of our culture, right? And so, in terms of representation, we've always seen our parents and our, you know, and they've always seen their parents just put their head down and do the work because that's what they were supposed to do. So, whether you're from China or you're where, you know, wherever part of Asia you're from, we've been taught that hard work will overcome any of the obstacles that we face, right? And then we don't go and cause trouble. That's very like much of a cultural thing. And then what happens then is that we aren't as outspoken as others, right? And as other minority groups are or can be with regards to the injustices that we suffer from. And so then nobody else is calling out these stereotypes. Nobody else is calling out these injustices. And so people continue to post the mail order brides. People continue to have these unconscious biases against Asians and Asian women, right? Because nobody's saying, hey, you know, like, that's not okay. And that's why I think it's amazing that, you know, we have generations that are younger, like yourself, who are ready to break free from the cultural expectations of staying silent and just putting our head down and doing the work, but to actually yell out at the top of your lungs to say, this is not acceptable, and to raise our voices to make change happen, right? Because if we, I mean, how many more of our senior citizens have to like suffer because they live the way that they know how to live and we haven't said anything? And so if we're just going to be, I guess, passive bystanders and observers, then we can't complain. Like, we just can't complain because this is the role that we've accepted. And so I love that aspect of, you know, everything that you've just said. And one thing I also want to touch on too is this concept of Asian women, right? Because you have the book Asian Women Who Boss Up, and then now you're doing the Asian Women Leadership book, and then you're really focused on this Asian female aspect, which I truly resonate with for more, you know, for all the reasons that you stated and more, especially after being in corporate for so long. You know, I think that there are so many of the unconscious biases that come through that people don't even realize that come out of their mouth or in their actions. And so in your book and in the research that you do, what are the underlying themes that, you know, in terms of like challenges that Asian female experience when they're trying to boss up? First, like, what does boss up even mean? And then what are the challenges that Asian female experience when they're trying to boss up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the word boss up is really just, you know, just transformation, being able to have the courage to go out there and do your thing, run your business, you know, forge your own path, right? Especially as Asian women, we've been told all our lives to, you know, do as you're told, never make any noise, and stay in the background, right? And because of that, you know, we're not in, you know, there's the numbers in leadership roles are very small, right? There was a survey from catalyst.org that mentioned, you know, the representation of Asian women in management and leadership roles in America last year, based on last year's numbers, was only 2.7%.
Wow.
That is small.
Yeah, that's nothing.
That is very small, considering there's over like what, 24 million Asians in the US. I mean, yep. Those numbers have to be better. And then, you know, we're constantly seen by the model minority myth, right? You know, Asians are the good model citizens because they've been through crap and never complained about anything, and we should all just live like them. And, you know, that really hurts us too, right? This is why we also get attacked by other cultures, right? Because we are being compared as like the good model citizen.
Right.
And it's like, if we speak up, they're like, but you're Asian, you're not supposed to speak up. Like, I thought Asians are quiet. It's like, no, right? And so this is why it's so important to dismantle these things and share stories. Like, there's so many amazing Asian women out there who are just bossing up, but never share anything, like mm-hmm. never tell their stories, right? And you know, it's just culturally, they just don't, because that's what they've been told, right? Mm-hmm. But if we don't know these stories, how are we going to know like what's possible for us, right?
Exactly.
How are we gonna be able to see that there are other avenues other than what we're told to do?
Exactly.
And so this is why representation is so important, because it leads to other possibilities, right? Like a great example, Ki-Hui Kwan, he used to be a child star, you know, he starred in two big movies, The Goonies and Indiana Jones, right? First acting roles he ever got, big movies, right? But after that, you know, it was really hard for him to get any roles in Hollywood because there just wasn't any roles for Asian people, right? They just never made any, because for the longest time they thought we were not bankable, right? In fact, our characters were constantly whitewashed. You know, at one point they wanted to have white characters for the Joy Luck Club, and I thank God every day that they did it, because that, you know, how, like a white,
how that would have changed that movie. Yeah, I mean,
exactly. You know, you know, a Caucasian person doesn't understand what we go through. So for the longest time, he worked behind the scenes over 30 years, right? And didn't really get into acting, because to him, there was just nothing out there for him, as an Asian man. Fast forward 2018, he saw one movie, one movie called Crazy Rich Asians. Had major FOMO, right? Because he's like, I wanted to be in that movie. I'm Asian too. And that was his pivotal moment to get back into acting. He called a friend up to see if they would represent him or be his agent. He got casted for Everything Everywhere All at Once, got a lot of praise because he did such a great job portraying the character in the movie. And from then on, now he's getting more acting jobs. So this is why representation is so important. Him being able to see other Asian people on this big screen revived his acting career, right? And that is why, for me, representation is so important, because you just don't know, what people are capable of when they see someone else that looks like them forge that path, trailblaze that way, right? It's never easy to be the first one, right? It's nerve-wracking. You don't know what's going to happen. Plus, when you come from an Asian background, it's like everyone judges your every single move, right? Yeah. That's why it takes a lot of courage and confidence to keep moving forward. You also have a support system that will have your back when times are tough, and being able to be okay to ask for help, right? Like,
yeah. And I think that's where the confidence comes in. And it's so important to be able to, I think, be aware enough to understand where and what is holding you back so that you can start to develop the confidence and start to release the stories that I think we've just been so used to growing up, right? A lot of what you just said in terms of cultural expectations, but also in terms of like what our family expects of us outside of culture. I mean, it's all blended in together, but it's also like what our family expects of us. And also like where our role is supposed to fit in from a female perspective, right? Like we're supposed to be a mom, and then being a good mom is very different, I think, from an Asian perspective versus a non-Asian perspective. And then so, one of the things that I wanted to also ask you as well is that when you are looking at the concept of bossing up, at the concept of confidence, do you see a difference in terms of an Asian man versus an Asian woman in terms of their ability to be able to step forward and like really step into that, like that power that they hold?
I mean, I guess for Asian men, it might be a little bit easier just because, our culture always favors men over girls, right? Mm-hmm. Like back in the day, if they had to choose between a male and a female to go to school, of course, they'll choose the male, right? I just feel like they have more support when it comes to different things, right? Of course, they still go through the same things we go through, right? The pressure to be perfect, being the golden boy and things like that. But when it comes support-wise, like, I think they have more support, right? If we were to share any of our problems or traumas, it's more like, well, you shouldn't talk about that because, it's going to tarnish the family name, right? Even though it wasn't our fault, we become the victim. I mean, we get blamed for it, and then we have to keep it inside us. And then whatever traumas we have, we pass it on to the next generation, mm-hmm. right? We never talked about it, right? And this happens more often than we realize, right? Like, there's things my grandmother has gone through that she will take to the grave. Like, she will never tell me, right? And that's just because that's how they're brought up. But I do want to know what happened so that we can understand why, sometimes we don't know what a person's going through, but if they don't open up, we just assume different things, right? Yeah. We just think, well, maybe she's just bitter. No, we know there's a trauma there, but we need to unlock it. We need to figure out what that trauma is and how she can heal from it, right? Yeah. Especially with our elderly now, right? They've had so much traumas migrating to Canada and the US, and now they're really living their traumas all over again because they're getting attacked for senseless crimes, right? Mm-hmm. Because now they're pinpointed as, well, you're Asian, you must come from China, therefore you're the cause of COVID, to the point where even people in the Latin community are getting targeted because they look Asian, right? Mm-hmm. There was a report last year where a 70-year-old Mexican woman got beaten up in a bus because they mistaken her for Asian. So this is why it's so important to speak up, to talk, to educate people, to really, really talk about and bring diversity, right? Like, every time I see people say they're for diversity, it's like your actions don't match your words, and it's so annoying sometimes, right? Like, you go to an event, there's like 9 Caucasian ladies and like maybe 1 Black woman, and they call that diverse. And it's like, that's not how diversity works, right?
No.
Canada and the US is a huge melting pot, you know, a huge melting pot. So we should be able to at least the bare minimum have like an equal amount of diversity and not just like check something off saying we're labeled as diversity because we have one person of color.
Right.
I mean, I've spoken to so many women who said they were the diversity hire to fill up their quota. And being diverse shouldn't be a quota you have to fill up. It should really be something that you really want to create in your company as a culture, right? Because the more diverse you are, you know, the more people are wanna like stand by you and buy your products. Like people don't understand like diversity also leads to like you making more money, making more profits. You know, it's like a win-win situation, but like, I don't know. It's just like, sometimes I see things on social media and I'm just like, why is this still happening? So I don't want to go on a tangent because I could talk about this all day.
I know, trust me. So can I. So you have taken this untraditional route in terms of your career and becoming an activist in the podcast that you do and the books that you're writing. So was there a pivotal moment in your life that you said, you know what, enough is enough. This is what I'm going to do. Forget the traditional route. And, you know, how did your family respond to you going out there and doing something not corporate, not professional, not being a doctor, not being a lawyer, whatever else, you know, we're supposed to be?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, everything really happened when my aunt passed away about 11 years ago.
Okay.
Well, 10 years ago. And it was just like, it just happened, you know, out of nowhere. And it just made me realize how short life is, right? And I just didn't want to, you know, live the rest of my life going into work Monday to Friday, you know, working from 9 to 5, and then like seeing myself doing that till I was like 60 or 65. Not that there's anything wrong. If you love your job, that's great. You know, that's amazing, right? Because there are people who love their job and there should be no shame in that. But if you hate your job, then that's another problem, right? Like, I did like my job, but at the same time, I knew I was underappreciated. You know, I was being, I was being like targeted for like every little mistake I made. And then because I'm a woman, they didn't take me seriously. So I knew something had to change. And that was like the moment I started thinking about different things. Of course, when I started to go out there and do my own thing, my parents were not happy. They were livid. You know, they were like, you're already successful. Why would you do that? You know, their meaning of success wasn't my meaning of success. And, you know, it wasn't an easy thing because, you know, growing up Asian, like you still have so many things in your head that, you know, what if I'm not good enough? What if I can't do this? What if they're right? And so that also stops you from taking action. And really, it wasn't until I decided to like, you know, I don't have to do this alone. I can, you know, connect with other women who can help me along the way. And being able to ask for help was really where I was able to, you know, really make moves, right? Because now there's someone out there who's also like, you know, we have the same like frustrations, right? Being able to talk about it makes it feel better. You know, if I'm having a bad day, you know, that person can push me, or the other way around. Like, you know, be like, it's okay. You know, bad days happen. Let's keep moving.
Yeah.
And being able to just go out there, take action, figure things out along the way is really what gets you the results, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Do I know what I'm doing half the time? No. Do I make a lot of mistakes? Of course, right? But I also get results, right? Sometimes your greatest mistakes could be your greatest opportunity.
Yep, absolutely. And,
you know, instead of overthinking it, just do it. What's the worst that could happen, right? Like they either say no or they ghost you, right? And I know rejection is like the biggest like thing, you know, as Asian women, we don't want to hear, but no doesn't always mean no forever. It's just not right now. Or maybe it's a blessing in disguise, right?
Yeah.
No, it's just another opportunity, right? It's like, okay, if this person doesn't want it, then we just move on to the next one. And you move on to the next one until, you know, you find that person or you find, you know, the next opportunity, right? And I know it's not easy. Like, it's not easy, but the more you keep doing it, the easier it does get. Is it scary at first? Of course. What is like anything you start new is scary, right? But it really starts with that first step and taking small steps along the way, and you'd be surprised how much you can accomplish.
Yeah. And then also it definitely helps when you have the confidence behind it and also the passion. And like you're like someone like yourself who is driven by purpose, right? You have that north, I call it the North Star. So when you know where your North Star is, you know exactly where to go at all times. And it doesn't really matter what everybody else around you is saying, because at the end of the day, it's irrelevant. And so I think that that is also something that perhaps, you know, I think it happens for all of us that it's difficult to like tune out the noise, but I think it's also particularly difficult for Asian women because we're so used to being people pleasers, right? Because we had to be people pleasers, quite frankly. Part of it is for survival, for all the reasons that you said in the beginning. And so there is such a deep history that we have both within our own countries, but also here in the US that, you know, I think that it could help explain so much of who we are today and, you know, and where we stand today. I think it's time. It's amazing. People such as yourselves are coming out to speak about it, to share about it, to educate others about it, because now you're setting a different path for the generations that follow you. And to show that, you know, there's not just one way of succeeding and that there's multiple ways. And, you know, kind of like what you were saying before in Hollywood, Hollywood is changing. But representation also matters because you see big actors like Daniel Dae Kim and others walking off sets and saying, no, like, we're not willing to settle for half of our Caucasian peers. Like, we deserve
more.
We've at least full price, right? We're not going to be discounted for half off. And that, these are the voices that are going to change the industry, that are going to change society, that are going to start to raise awareness of where people are putting us into a stereotype that's not necessarily helping us. So thank you so much for being part of the group that is causing and standing up for change. Now, when you have, you know, what would be your biggest advice for those who are looking to be truly inclusive in, and like in a workplace or in any particular setting, right? And what would be your advice for Asian women who are looking to step into a leadership position?
I mean, I think with Asian women just stepping up, like, it's just really learning to take action, right? You know, don't over, like, sometimes you just gotta go out there. It's like ready, fire, aim, right? You can always course correct along the way, right? Because we're always told ready, aim, fire, but we're so busy aiming at something that we don't end up, taking action. Sometimes you just gotta go and do ready, fire, aim, right? Being able to just take actions, you know, regardless of the outcome, at least you know you have an outcome, right? And then that outcome, you can learn from it and then course correct along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to connect with, you know, being able to model off, you know, people you look up to, what they've done, right? That's also important. And when it comes to being inclusive, I think it's just really about, you know, saying what you mean and just doing it, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are all talk and no action, right? Being inclusive and diverse doesn't always mean just bringing one person from each cultural background or organization or group and calling it a diverse, right? Like, it has to go beyond that.
Yeah.
Because the numbers are still very small, even in publishing, like the representation of authors from different races are still like 4-6%. And then it's even less for women of color, right? Mm-hmm. So things really need to change, but it also has to start with us. And, you know, as much as we love to complain about representation, if you're not doing anything, you're also part of the problem, right? You gotta put your money where your mouth is, right? Or whatever that thing is. You can't just be like, well, I don't see anybody. So then you go out there and do it, right? Like, we have to also be the ones to go out there and speak up, even if we have no clue what we're doing, even if we're one person, right? Like, one person can make a difference. You know, I started with no influence, not knowing what to do, just really putting myself out there. And eventually just kept building it, you know, in time, to the point where, you know, now people can say like, oh, you know, she's an expert in podcasting. You know, for me, like, I don't think I am, but I, you know, that's just probably my own like dialogue, right? But being able to create books, being able to write my own book, right? That wouldn't have happened if I didn't take action, right? Mm-hmm. And I know it's easier said than done, right? That's why you don't have to do it alone, right? You can, you know, hire a coach, work with a mentor, find a women's group, you know, invest in yourself, right? Invest in yourself so that you can become better, so you can be the person that you're meant to be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So any last advice or tips for our Asian women audience out there in terms of building confidence, bossing up, or anything else that you just want to share and make sure that they really get it from this
episode? Yeah, for sure. I think when it comes to building confidence, you really got to find ways that work for you, right? What may work for me will not always work for you, right? Like maybe you like to read, right? Maybe you don't. Maybe you'd rather hear audiobooks or podcasts, right? Maybe you like to meditate, maybe not, right? It's all about figuring out what works for you. And mm-hmm. then, you know, you get to pick and choose what you do, right? Like we don't always have to go by a certain way, like what we've been taught to do, right? You as a person, you're going to try and figure out like what will work for you, create boundaries, right? Saying no to things that don't serve you anymore. Because that's what gets us in situations where we feel like we have the lowest self-confidence.
Yeah.
Setting boundaries, being able to have time for yourself, being able to find ways to build your way to confidence versus what you're told to do. I think those are really important. Being able to work on your mindset, you know, that's really important. Even if it means just having like little affirmations is great. I mean, when I have moments of doubt, I say three things. I say, I am loved, I am worthy, and I am enough. And I keep telling myself that until I feel good. So, you know, just these little things make huge, like, you know, people don't realize the small daily actions that you take is what yields the great results.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you save a dollar every day, by the end of the year, you have 365, right? So it all does add up. So where can our audience find you?
Yeah, for sure. So they can check out my website, sheenayapchan.com. They can order a copy of Asian Women Who Boss Up. Part of the proceeds will be donated to nonprofit organizations battling anti-Asian hate. They can also check out the podcast called The Tao of Self-Confidence.com or The Tao of Self-Confidence on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, all the major podcast directories. You can subscribe. You can binge listen on over 800 interviews on the topic of self-confidence. And we're also always, you know, working on the book series, right? Because we really want to create, you know, stronger representation, more media for women by women. You know, we already have 7 books out. We're going to have our 8th book out.
Amazing. So
if there's any women out there who, you know, want to be an author, who want to be, you know, treated seriously in their business, get more visibility, you know, we're always looking for serious women who want to partner with us. Feel free to connect with me on my website or, you know, if you didn't hear anything else, if you Google Sheena Yapchan, I'm like the only Sheena Yapchan out there.
Okay. That's always helpful. And then we'll also be including the links in the show notes. And then people can always go there and click and get to like wherever they need to go onto your website and all the books and stuff. So thank you so much, Sheena, for joining. It was such a pleasure speaking with you, and keep on fighting the good fight.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And so for my audience out there, thank you for joining us today. And don't forget to tune in again next week for the next episode of Being Unapologetically Authentic, where we dive further into this authenticity of being Asian and female and what it means in today's society. So talk soon. Bye, guys.